Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Last week or so, we were in Columbus, Ohio, for the Christian Missionary Alliance, of which we are a part in General Council, which happens every 2 years. I'm very thankful for the chance to be able to go there. And I've had a number of people ask, how was Council? And my answer has been, well, I'm going to share some things on Sunday morning. I've given some report as from various people, but I want to just give some reflection on the time there. You know, we are a Christian Missionary Alliance church. We're not going to dwell on the fact that we are a Christian Missionary Alliance church per se, but just the reality, we want to say thank you, and we want you to know that we are part of a bigger family. All around the United States, over 2,000 churches, and what you are a part of, we just want to give you a taste of that this morning. And so I want to give you a little encouraging report and a challenge this morning. But before we do that, I want to pray, and then I want to give you a taste of what Steph and I were able to experience at Council by showing you a video that kind of is a synopsis, a summary of that time, and then I'll share some thoughts this morning together. So let's pray and ask that the Lord by His Spirit would lead us into truth. Father, You are a good Father. And if earthly fathers know how to give good gifts, even though we are not perfect, even though there is evil tendency within us, as Your Word says, You who are perfect and pure and holy, how much more will You give us the good gift of the Holy Spirit when we ask? And so, Father, we do ask that Your Spirit would come and would lead us this morning as we would look into the Scriptures together, but also as just would hear some encouragement of what You are doing in the world around us. So come, Holy Spirit, lead us into truth. And by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, every spirit that would come against that work, I bind now in the name and the authority of Christ, so that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit who is able to minister in our midst. Lord, we love You, and we look forward to what You have in store for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to watch this video on a report from Council.
Columbus, Ohio. We've been preparing 2 years for your arrival.
We believe that God sings over us. And we believe that God loves to hear us sing over Him. So we sing.
Stretch forth Your hand and heal. Perform signs and wonders in the holy name of Your servant Jesus. And the room in which we were meeting was shaken.
Longing to revive His church, with a desire to see us made alive again by the Holy Spirit so that we can reach the world. It's all about the lost.
Many groups across the country are beginning to call out, Church, we need You back. We're crying out for You to be back into the lives of people in our neighborhoods.
In times of crisis, it is imperative that the church respond with prayer.
Things can be absolutely out of control to the naked eye, and I can still have peace because my peace isn't in circumstances, my peace is in Him.
How many of you have ever been taught something by a child? Right? It's so irritating, and they shouldn't be able to do that. Because we've got 24 hours in a year with kids, we better be doing our job well. It's about giving them tools to do life as a Christ follower in a messy world.
Thank you. to domesticate the gospel is challenged by the Holy Spirit's call to move forward. The call of God for us as a movement is to be a Holy Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-sanctified, Holy Spirit-empowered movement. The call of God for us as a movement is to confess, "Oh Lord, no limits, no barriers. Where your Spirit sends us, we will go. And what your Spirit desires, we are open." Hallelujah.
The New Testament clearly describes a Spirit-directed mission. I feel that in the alliance that I grew up in, there was an emphasis on certain aspects of the Holy Spirit, but we forgot, and we still tend to forget, that He only gave them power to do what He had directed them to do. That sounds like such a simple statement. Don't miss it. He only gave them power to do what He had directed them to do. He's in charge of the church. It's His church. It's His mission.
If you ask me the question, what is it that keeps me up at night? What's the thing that bothers me most in my soul? It's the idea that there are 500,000 people in my own backyard who are headed to a Christless eternity. If a church is going to be reaching lost people, then the people who are leading the church need to go first in reaching their own lost neighbor. God wants us to reach one more.
We believe that the gospel is for all people, and certainly for people who are not qualified. God is doing something amazing among the church, and we feel like this is our call as the Alliance. There are many people in your churches, many people in your neighborhoods who are church planters. Our shift in the way we think must be accelerated so that the gospel can be incarnated.
Alliance family, let's stay faithful to this task of taking the gospel to the least reached peoples of the world. It doesn't have to be an either or. In Acts 1:8, there are no ors. When my Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll have the capacity to take my gospel to your town, Jerusalem, to your region, Judea, to Samaria, people who are close to you or not like you, and all the way to the ends of the earth. And. No ors. And so if you're writing an or into the text, you're not taking the text seriously, because you have enough capacity by the Spirit of God, as we bind together as a family, for us to do it all well.
So I hope it gives you a little taste of where we were at and what we were able to experience. And thank you to the church family for giving us the privilege to be able to go. And so this morning I want to just share an encouraging report. You heard some encouraging things there. I want to share with you an encouraging report because of the reality that you have given. Because sometimes we give and you wonder, what actually comes about? Well, we heard lots of good stories, and so I want to share some of those stories that have come because of your faithfulness in giving, your faithfulness in praying, your faithfulness in participating in this larger group that we are part of called the Christian Missionary Alliance. So you want to hear some cool things? Okay. The president of a region in the Middle East of two countries that you hear of regularly in the news, but because this is being recorded and we're putting it on the internet, I cannot say the names of those countries for security reasons, said this, that in those countries, God is cracking up the darkness and light is beginning to break through. He said, we still need your prayers because we don't see a sweeping revival yet, but we thank God that divine light is coming through. In one of the countries that he is the president over, there are many, many, many who are fleeing. But the encouraging word is, because you gave, it is enabling the church in that country not to be ones who are fleeing, but instead who are buying property to build facilities to be able to reach the least and often most marginalized people in their area. Think about that. While everybody is running, the church is buying property and building a building to be able to minister the good news of Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful testimony to the good news of Jesus and to what God is doing in that country? In the country of Cambodia, in the city of Poy Phet, in the last 13 years, there have been 8 Alliance churches that have been planted and 27 new church leaders that have been raised up. In a place where there was no work, in 13 years, 8 churches planted and 27 church leaders raised up. Can we praise the Lord for that? In a Middle Eastern creative access country where a professional couple has left their livelihood in the United States to go and do that work in a country that would not be open to traditional missionaries, they reported that their local church in the past 6 months has experienced growth of from 150 to now 400 people. 150 to 400 people in the past 6 months. Can we give God praise for that this morning? There were the appointment of 11 new, either individual workers or couples, to new ministry, international ministries around the world. 11 new works that were being sent out and commissioned, whether it was an individual or a couple together. 11 new places that will have the gospel, the light of the gospel being taken to. Is that good news? In our own country, in Omaha, Nebraska, Christ Community Church has either daughtered as far as planted, or the church they planted has planted, think about that, a church that is planted has now planted another church. In the past 10 years, they have either planted or that plant has planted 10 new churches. That's one church a year on average. And in our own state of Pennsylvania, 2 Penn State University students from the State College Alliance Church have planted a church in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and a church in Philadelphia. And the church in Philadelphia is now planting another church to reach another part of that city. That's exciting stuff. And I want you to know that your Great Commission Fund giving, a portion of that goes to planting churches here in the United States. So you have been directly involved in that. A couple years ago, a new venture was started in our denomination called Envision. And Envision is a program that is headed up by millennials, you know, that under 30, 35 and under group, for millennials. And the purpose is to give them a place to be able to minister in the name of Jesus. And in these last 5 or 6 years since this has been started, there have been 22 Envision sites that have been started in the United States and to the ends of the earth in other parts of the world. 70 full-time staff in those places in just a matter of years has launched. Some of you may remember Pastor Meyer, that was one of the pastors here. I want you to know his grandson is the head of that ministry, Tim Meyer. And, you know, we hear a lot about millennials these days. And the overwhelming word is what? They're lazy, they're apathetic, they don't care, all that kind of stuff. I want you to know that's not everybody. Because Tim Meyer reports that if you believe that that's the face of the millennial generation, you're not hanging around the millennials that he's hanging around. Because there are many who are passionately in love with Jesus and who are involved in his mission. And so be encouraged by the new things that God is doing. one of the overwhelming impressions for me as far as an encouraging report to share with you is this reality. That all around the world, if you watch the news, and I hear Christians say, boy, Jesus has to be coming back any minute because the world is just terrible. Have you heard that? Well, I want you to know, if you're just listening to the news, you do not have an accurate picture of what God is doing in the world. Because if you just listen to the news, you would think that there is just darkness and that the gates of hell are overrunning the church. That nothing good is happening, that it's all doom and gloom, and that there is nothing that's happening. I want you to know, if you were sitting in my seat at council last week, you would come away with the reality that God is alive and well in the world. God is alive and well in our country. God is on the move. And if we believe that there is nothing good going on in the world, and that, just to use the phrase, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, we've lost sight of our God. Because our God is doing good things. And He's inviting us to partner with Him right where we're at, and He's inviting us to partner with Him around the world. An encouraging report for us this morning is that God is doing good things in the world today. The story is not over, and we need to be encouraged. And we need to pray from a position of not, oh Lord, how bad it is, but from a position of, oh Lord, how much good you are doing to redeem this fallen world. It's about perspective. It's about a shift. And so may we together be encouraged that God is doing good things in our country and in the world. If you're encouraged, say amen. So I wanted to share just a little picture for you of some of the encouraging things that came about as a result of council. But I want to share with you a challenge as well. And so I invited you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And that's where I want to share a challenge as I reflect on council and share some thoughts from it for you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's a verse that you may be very, very familiar with. I want to read again. This is Jesus' last words to his disciples. Parallel passage would be in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20 of the Great Commission, that you're to go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. But Luke records it this way, what Jesus also said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is our call. This is the mission that God has given to us through the person of Jesus. We are to be His witnesses in our Jerusalem, right in our neighborhood. In our Judea, our region, Pittsburgh, western Pennsylvania. We are to be His witnesses in Samaria, which is the people that live around us but are not like us, whether they're in a different socioeconomic class, or whether their skin color is a different color than ours, or whether their language is different than the one that we natively speak. That we are to minister to people in our neighborhoods, in our region, in our area of region that are close to us but are not like us, and to the ends of the earth, to take the gospel to every people group. That is our mission. That is what God has called us to. And I want you to be encouraged that the Dorseyville Alliance Church has had a long history of engaging this mission. We have a long history of reaching out to the neighborhood around, of seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ, of being involved in this region to be able to be ministers of the gospel. You have had a long history of being a very generous, mission-oriented, mission-focused church who has sent out workers specifically from this church to go to far distant, unreached lands and unreached people. You have the history of being a very generous, financially giving, and praying church that people would come to know Christ. You have a history of being a church who has welcomed in international workers and celebrated at mission conference weekends and weeks to celebrate what God has done and to hear and to be inspired on how we can further advance the good news of Jesus. And for all of that, you need to be commended. For all of that, you need to be encouraged that God has used the Dorseyville Alliance Church in its history to be able to be a mission-oriented church. As I listen to different people that have been around for a while here, who have seen the ebbs and flows of what God has done and have experienced some of the great successes and have also gone through some of the great challenges, when I listen and when I pray and when I seek to understand where the church has been, commended for being a mission church. But I believe the word of the Lord to us as a family is this: that you have done well to be a mission-focused church. But there have been many times when you have neglected the means for being a mission-focused church. And the means for being a mission-focused church is not to rush over the first part of Acts 1:8, but it is to settle in and to receive fully what the first part of Acts 1:8 says. Jesus says, "But you will receive what? Power. You will receive power when your well-engineered plans and programs and mission philosophies bear fruit and are enacted well, right? You will receive power when what? The Holy Spirit comes upon you. Brothers and sisters, there is a work that God is doing in our larger family of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, but I believe is a work that He wants to restore to us in a renewed and deeper way at the Dorseyville Alliance Church, and that is a work of the Spirit that empowers us for mission. I believe that God wants to do this in our midst in a way that will bring fresh vitality, in a way that will drive us out rather than make us feel obligated to. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. In these last remaining moments, I want to talk about what this looks like. You will receive power. Because as I listen, I'm not sure that it has been always because it wasn't for me in this family that we are a part of conveyed well what it means to receive the power of the Spirit. You may be like me, maybe around and may have heard about the Spirit and may have focused very much on the mission, but not really understood what it meant to be empowered by the Spirit. It's still been a new journey for me. So I want to make sure everybody that we understand what it means to be empowered by the Spirit this morning. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you keep your finger in Acts chapter 1 and just turn back, probably for you, if your Bible is like mine, a page or two, to John chapter 20. The book right before the book of Acts, to John chapter 20, verses 21 through 22. This is post the resurrection of Jesus. He has died on the cross to pay the sins of the world. He has been resurrected to conquer death and conquer the power of Satan. And as he appears to his disciples in John chapter 20, beginning in verse 21, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When we fast forward to the book of Acts chapter 1, he says later to don't do anything after he ascends. Don't do anything, but go back to Jerusalem and wait for the Spirit to come. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus forget what he did back in John chapter 20? Did he forget that he had already breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit"? I don't think he did. My understanding of Jesus is he's never wrong. See, there has been the belief for many that when you come to Christ and their salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit and that's all you need. You're good. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And absolutely 100% when we confess our sin, when we turn to Christ and repent and we receive Him as Savior and Lord, the Spirit comes and He is in us. And because He is in us, Jesus is able to say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you because I am in you by my Spirit." But there's a second work of the Spirit that we as believers need. And if you look again at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, what does he say? "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit does what? Comes upon you." See, words are important. And the words "in" and the words "word upon," the word "in" and the word "upon" are two totally different things. This illustration was shared, and I think it is the best way to share this. Here's your life, represented by this jug, this pitcher. Before we come to faith in Christ, we are empty. We are dead spiritually. We need to be awakened. We need to be a new creation. And when we come to Christ and we recognize that we need Jesus and that Jesus died for us and that by faith in Him, we can be forgiven and we can be a new creation. When we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in us. He takes up residence in us. He is the deposit guaranteeing our salvation. He is in us. John chapter 20, verse 22. Receive the Spirit. They received the Spirit. He was in them. But he said, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you." See, there is another work of the Spirit that we need. For some people, it comes when you receive Christ as Savior. For others, if you're like me, it was years after because I didn't understand that I needed it. I thought I had everything that I needed. But there is a separate work other than salvation where we receive the Spirit not in us, but upon us. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there is activity that takes place in your life. For the apostles in Acts chapter 2, they all began to speak in other languages. And Peter, the one who denies Christ three times, stands up in front of thousands of people at Pentecost and begins to preach Christ, begins to say, "You have rejected him, but Jesus is the Savior of the world. So much so that 3,000 people on that day go, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter responds, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the salvation of your lives." Something happened to Peter. The Spirit was in him, but on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire were above the apostles' heads, and everyone that was there, no matter what language they spoke, understood what Peter said, there was something that happened. There was a filling, a baptism, a second work of the Spirit where the Spirit came upon him. Friends, if we are just satisfied with the Spirit in us, we are missing the power source that God has gifted to us as our good Father, the work of the Spirit to empower us for the mission. Whatever you want to call it, baptism, filling, the issue is, have you had an encounter with the Spirit to empower you? The joy of the Christian life is that God is not a one-and-done God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be continually being filled with the Spirit." Does that sound like you have a one-and-done encounter with the Holy Spirit? Not at all. The Holy Spirit is given to us to be poured out upon us, literally. Again, and 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 again. And as many Alka-Seltzers as I could find, or Efferdin or whatever that is, as many as I could find, as many as could be created in this world, we could keep dropping them in and in and in and in and in. And let me encourage you with this. The Holy Spirit will never run dry. We will never come to the place in our life here on earth where we will say, "I've got all of the Holy Spirit," because He is limitless. And the more we come back, the more we receive. The fuller we get, the more empowered we are for the mission. Do you see the cumulative effect? Praise the Lord for the Spirit with us at salvation. Amen? Praise the Lord for a baptism or a filling of the Spirit that is secondary and subsequent to salvation. Praise the Lord for that. Amen? But aren't you glad that it's not just that? Aren't you glad that we can come back to Him and cry out to Him and say, "Holy Spirit, fill me again"? And you are not being greedy. You are not being selfish. You know why? Because we've been commanded to ask for it. We've been commanded to have more and more and more. Be continually being filled with the Spirit is the literal language of Ephesians 5:18. A day by day, moment by moment, filling is available to us. And when the Spirit comes upon us, we are empowered to be His witnesses. Some of the greatest intention can lead to the greatest frustration. If we just believe, "I am to be the witness of the Lord," without understanding the power of the Spirit. Because with the greatest of intentions and the greatest love for the Lord and wanting to do His work, If we are not empowered, it will lead to frustration. It will lead to burnout. It will lead to just spinning our wheels because it's not about a program. It's not about a strategy. It is about the supernatural empowerment of the Spirit. As Dr. Stumbo said, it's the Spirit's mission for the Church of Jesus Christ. He only empowers us to do what He's called us to do. And so if we're doing something and we do not feel the empowerment of the Spirit, we have to wonder, are we doing what He wants us to do? Brothers and sisters, this is what made the movement of the Christian Missionary Alliance so successful in its early days. Knowing Jesus and the power of the Spirit in deepening ways that launched them out to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in their Judea, in their Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it's the same call for us today. The Spirit in us, the Spirit upon us. For some of us today, there may be the reality that, you know what, I know I have the Spirit in me, but I'm not sure that I know that the Spirit has come upon me. And I believe the Lord wants to do that work among us of His Spirit coming upon us. For some of us, that will mean that there's some emptying that we have to do of our lives. That there's some pride or there's some self-sufficiency or there are some secrets that we are carrying around that are no one knows it except God and us, but it's just kind of buried in there and the Lord's been speaking to us about it. We've got to bring it out of the darkness and into the light. We have to confess it, not just before God, but confess it to a trusted friend. We've got to bring it out of the darkness, secrets. There may be unforgiveness. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness. And where bitterness is, roots grow that hinder the work of the Spirit in our lives. There may be self-dependence. There may be some fear. I can honestly say that there was a long time for me where I was afraid of what the Holy Spirit would do. If the Holy Spirit came upon me, I was afraid of what might happen. Let me tell you, that fear is not based in reality. Because our good Father wants to give us good gifts, the gift of the Spirit. Others may simply have never asked. Some may need to empty, others may need to ask because maybe you believed and been taught all your life that when you came to Christ, you had everything you need with the Spirit. And maybe today it's just the understanding of there's more. There's an experience with God, a work of the Spirit that I haven't experienced before and I want it. And for others of you, you may have received the filling or baptism of the Spirit, whatever you want to call it. But to be honest, it's been a while. You've had it, but you've been running dry lately because the continually being filled of the Spirit has not been a regular rhythm of your life and you're running on empty. Maybe you'd need more today, a fresh filling. And maybe you just want to say, Lord, You said that I can have more so that I can be empowered as a witness. And Lord Jesus, I want more of Your Spirit. It's a request that He loves to grant. More. 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 So this morning, we're going to just end in a time of worship and a song that just would be an expression of our heart before God. And if you're saying this morning, Lord, I want to be filled fresh with the Spirit of God. I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. I'm going to ask you to come forward and just to worship before the Lord and to ask. It's a bold step because you're stepping out and saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. The safe and secure place is to sit at your seat and to say, Lord, I'll come. But if it's the desire of your heart and you want that work from the Spirit this morning, or to be set on that path towards that filling this morning, just to come. I'm not going to have a formal closing. We're just going to worship before the Lord. And as you are ready and the Lord has released you to go, bless you now and say, may the Lord grant you a good week and his peace. But as you are ready, you are dismissed. And as you want to come, as you want to wrestle with the Lord, spend this time with him. I invite the worship team to come to lead us in this. And I'm simply going to pray. Inviting the Spirit to come, and if you want prayer just to come before him to be filled, I invite you to come. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for the good gift of your Spirit to us. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God within us. Thank you, Lord, that you also give us the Spirit to come upon us, to empower us to be your witnesses in our neighborhoods, in our region, in our area, to people that aren't like us, and to the ends of the earth. Lord, may we be a people that is empowered not by our own strategies or our own ideas or our own good works, but may we be a people supernaturally empowered by the Spirit, that you would do things that men and women and youth and children would stand and would see and would say, only God can do that. Lord, may you draw lost people to yourself. And Lord, may you empower us to be a part of that work. So Holy Spirit, come in these moments as we would worship. Lord, if there are any who desire this, may you meet them in these moments. And as we would go this morning too, I pray that we would go not in our own power, but I pray that we would go in the power of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come, I pray in Jesus' name.